Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio, third show time, fun time, do anything we want time. That special show that you get for supporting us on Patreon.com, paying for live videos and zines and Kratom and all of the wonderful journeys that Brian and I get to go on. We have launched the Flat Earth Tour this summer, summer 2017. More dates are still coming down the pipeline, but so far we're going to do Louisville, Kentucky on June 22nd, Milwaukee on July 23rd, Atlanta at the end of August, working into Baltimore possibly in September, and then capping it all off in the Big Apple itself in October. That's the plan right now for our domination this year. We also talking to people about getting out to the West Coast. I know a lot of you have been asking for that. Today we have a very special guest, somebody that is a hero to me. We talked about the early rumblings of the online guy who took it IRL, and that's Piss Pig Grandma, as y'all know him on Twitter. Brace is with us and wanted to come on and talk, you know, do a little bit of street fighting, jabbing, talking about the news, and talking shit. So thank you for being with us here today, Brace.
Welcome to third show.
Third show. It's a big deal.
Because, it's like fourth meal, but it's third show.
Yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, we miss them sometimes, so we have to make sure they really knock people over. So that's why we had to bring in a heavy hitter like yourself.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to do this.
Yeah, I mean, you're the first guest we've ever had on the show that's going to be played by Jake Gyllenhaal in a movie, which means we are having basically Jake Gyllenhaal on the show.
Essentially, yes. Yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal.
So were you pretty mad about that, that they're making that movie about you?
I mean, it's not going to happen. You know, like there's no way it's going to happen. I was pretty pissed about that.
I would be amped about it, but you're not going to get paid for that, are you?
Yeah, but I mean, that'd be cool if, like, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal made a movie about you guys, like, you know, doing a podcast and, you know, having wives and stuff. But Jake Gyllenhaal making a movie about me, I don't even think he's Jewish.
Well, he's also played lots of Arabs and a few Arabs in his time, I guess, as well.
He was in Prince of Persia.
Right. He was the Prince of Persia. So
this will be like a mix between Prince of Persia and Jarhead.
Probably.
So just for folks that maybe don't know your story exactly, I know you've been on a few podcasts recently, and I'm sure they've all asked you to explain it. But what is making the Hollywood look in your direction to steal your life story?
I went to Syria and joined the YPG and I guess fought ISIS.
Man, tight, so man.
You're yes. Like, yeah.
That's radical.
I want to say this to like all the conservative people and like you should call your dad and be like, we had a guy on the show that did more to beat ISIS than you did. All you fucking talk about is ISIS. This guy went over and fought ISIS, not even for the U.S.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically not. I mean, I'm in the CIA.
Yes, I know. I've seen that you are in the CIA.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's been exciting, though. I mean, that's a bump up, double agent, and then, you know, getting to actually, you know, take ISIS on, you know, head first. Well, I mean, what were the conditions like? It was a military. How formal was it? How commie was it? Was there no leadership at all?
No. That's like a common misconception. There's no leadership at all. There's like kind of minimal leadership, but there is definitely like a structure. I mean, we have like team commanders and then squad commanders and then platoon commanders. And above that, there's just like commanders. But you don't have to salute or do anything like that. I mean, you can kind of just act towards them the same way you'd act towards anyone else.
Nice. And so you assisted with just helping where are the other troops coming from? Are they all coming from the internet, or where's most of that army derived from?
mostly people from weird Twitter.
No, it's like listserv groups and like the and you know, some racist Reddit guys. No, it's mostly Kurdish people, and then there's like quite a few Arab. Originally, like, there wasn't a lot of integration, but now they're kind of all in the YPG and this other thing called the SDF. And then I was with Turkish communists for a while.
And so, I mean, what drew you to this? What made you sign up to do this? I mean, besides all, I mean, like, I'll get on the air and tell people I want to stop ISIS, but I mean, I don't know if I'd go fly to their house to stop them.
Well, I didn't like go there to like fight ISIS, you know, like technically I did, but like, I didn't, you know, that wasn't like I wasn't like watching videos of ISIS and getting like more and more pissed until I bought a plane ticket.
Because you know the whole middle of this country is filled with people that are actually doing that aren't gonna fly there to do anything, you know. But they're looking at videos, getting more and more pissed about it.
Yeah, they're just like watching videos of like any Muslim being like this fucking ISIS guy. I wanted to see how the sort of social revolution that's occurring out there is happening. And I wanted to see and participate and try to like defend it essentially.
And so what did you find out or learn from the experience of trying to organize with kind of those principles in mind and actually accomplish goals and tasks in a way that kind of finally lines up with your ideology more than, you know, probably what you did here in the United States?
Well, so it's not exactly my ideology. Theirs is a little more like libertarian, I guess, than mine is. I don't mean libertarian like the American sense, but
like the Brett Payne and Brian Quimby sense, like anarchist more, would you say?
Tending towards more that. Yeah, definitely. Like a lot of their ideas kind of come from that. But I'm a Marxist Leninist, cause I'm an adult man.
House.
Yeah, exactly.
You put on your pants to say so. You got Marxist Leninist stitched right into the back.
Look, I'm the oldest anarchist in America. Okay, I'm a
38-year-old anarchist. He's supposed to wash out by now.
I put
down the skateboard, Brian.
No, like I get it. Like I bead my pubes. You know, I dye my shit. You know, I eat kale. I've eaten it. At heart, I'm a Marxist Leninist. So it wasn't exactly what I want, but it was still something I wanted to see and participate in. Plus, like there is the whole issue of Kurdish national liberation, which I do believe in as well. What I saw there was actually, I faced some hard truths, you could say. You have to and a lot of groups out here have it in kind of a different way, called like a cadre system, where there's essentially like a core group of people that are like really versed in the ideology and essentially like swear their lives to it. But out there, they do it like way more intensely. Like you can't get laid. You can't you can't use a cell phone. I mean, you can use one, but like you can't call your parents, you know, you got to take a new name and like you basically swear your life for it. And I think like the fact that they've done it on like such a mass scale is why they've been so successful. But let me tell you, buddy, it ain't for me.
I can see. So it was like, I'm sorry. Was it like the teens like in the United States that sign up for the army and they think it's going to be a certain thing and they get in there, like you got there and was like, fuck, this is way different than I thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't that different than I thought it was going to be because I like researched it ahead of time. And I didn't have to really do that stuff because like there's like, and then there's what they call the harami, which is like the paid troops, which is most of them. And they don't have to do any of that shit. Like they can go like, you know, jack off in the fucking bathroom and like do all the normal shit, you know, go like take vacations and like, they only have to serve for 6 months. So I sort of chose to stick with the cadre because they're generally a little better fighters.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds like, I mean, it's like a council of elders, council of elders type situation.
I mean, I'm like technically, yeah. Like I got a vasectomy when I was out there. I eventually like chopped my balls off. It's not like, but it's, it, I was just trying to get like into it, you know?
Exactly. That's just sometimes the commitment that it takes.
Yeah.
So can I ask something? Because when we first started talking about doing this show, Brett and I were in like a big drugs thing and you were going to come on and talk about drugs. Was there like no drugs there? I can guarantee there was no drugs.
Yeah, you're right. There was no drugs. We actually, to check this out, if you get shot, like you're almost, if you get any drugs at all, you're getting ketamine.
Wow. So you're just out of it for 6 hours? You're in a K-hole?
I mean, you done that shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, I sat in a car seat for 6 hours about.
Well, the only time I've ever done ketamine, home from, I thought it was coke. This was like 6 years ago. I thought it was coke. And I did like a bunch of it. And a guy offered me, was like, wow, I guess you really like ketamine. And that's when I sort of realized, like, got myself in.
Wowzers, yeah.
So I started walking home. And this car picked me up, and there's this guy I know who like is a construction worker. I didn't see him very often. He's with his girlfriend. They're both wearing a lot of silk. And I kind of curl up in the back seat, and they start giving me a ride home. And I'm like, where you guys been? And they told me they'd been at an orgy.
Nice.
And I was like, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, like there was like a pro football player there. I'm like, cool. but I can't remember if it was like because of a question I asked or like they just, it was like kind of a non sequitur, but they just mentioned that in the midst of like their sexual, like sort of this large tangled mass of people, the guy John ended up farting in the football player's face. Anyways, so if you get shot there, like you're pretty much just gonna get ketamine if you get anything at all.
That fucking sucks. Yeah. And like, I always heard that, like, no weed, huh? There's just no weed over there.
No.
Is there?
Okay. No. All right. So I hope no one ever hears this part. This is a Patreon only one, though. So I think I'm safe.
Yeah.
We're I'm not saying no one will ever listen to it, but the enemies won't listen to it.
No. We'll make sure it stays hid.
All right. So yeah. I know a couple of my boys smoke weed out there. One of my friends did in like, on this, like, outside of like this commander's base, this like cadre from Turkey came up to him and was like, hey, you smoke weed? He's like, of course. And the dude pulled out like a fucking half inch or half foot long joint and they just smoked it up there. And then my other boy was doing some civilian work in this village. And I like the sort of the village elder type guy, he ended up smoking weed with that dude like every night for a month.
Is it more illegal there than it is in like Kentucky or Alabama? Like is it pretty dangerous?
No.
No. Do the regular people there that just live there, do they do any weed?
Yeah, I'm sure, man. I mean, people like get drunk and shit.
See, I've been led to believe that there's no alcohol in the Middle East and there's no real drugs, but like
no. Dude, before the Civil War, Syria was like a fucking party zone, man. Like, actually, during like the Siege of Aleppo, the Syrian government put out a kind of ill-conceived ad showing just like raves going on in Aleppo still.
Jesus. The government did? Oh, check it out. People are still fucking getting down here, you know?
Askus, and like he always goes out there and gets wasted and like just like he just is a partier. I mean, people like, yeah, people definitely party in Syria. Not so much right now, or at least where I was. But
no, I'm just so brainwashed still. I can't ever get past like just believing whatever some idiot that watches Fox News all day told me about the Middle East. Like that is, for some reason, every time I think about it, it goes back to like, nah, man, people don't use weed because they'll cut your head off for that.
Well, I mean, it's true. Like, obviously, like, ISIS isn't, they don't even let you smoke cigs, but like, they do fucking this shit called Captagon. You know about that?
No, what is it? What spell?
So it was
real quick. I'm sorry.
C A P T A G O N.
Nice.
That's a great name.
We're looking. Yeah, I would love to get wrapped up in this. Look out for the Captagon Patreon level coming up very soon.
So Kathagon is kind of like it's like shitty, like pill version meth, not like Adderall or something. It's like meth. I guess it's kind of like imported by Saudi princes sort of deal. Like I remember some Saudi prince got like some low level one, got stopped in like a million pills on his jet. But ISIS gives it to like a lot of their troops to make them. I mean, fuck, man, you're on meth. You're going to fight like crazy. People have been doing that since they made meth.
Yeah, that's basically what people on meth do.
Yeah, my boy actually ended up like this Kajai dude. He ended up finding some and he took some. He said his face felt like it was made out of stone for 3 days and he couldn't sleep.
Damn.
But I guess
Have you ever smoked meth?
I never smoked meth, but I have injected it many times.
God, how was that?
Oh my God, man. I wouldn't recommend it if you haven't done it. but it feels about like it sounds.
Yeah. A roller coaster.
Yeah. And you get diarrhea.
Injecting anything is like the reason I don't do it is because when I've been in a hospital and I get injected with like fentanyl or morphine, it is just that instantaneous feeling is the fucking craziest. I think that's the craziest way you can feel is injecting anything.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah. It's yeah.
I'm a snorter. I'm a snorty boy.
Yeah, I was a big snorter, big smoker, and then I was like, well, I might as well just get into this, you know. I was like, Johnny Thunders, you know, the New York Dolls did this. I should
have. Yeah, lots of prolific people.
The lead singer of Korn was doing it a lot and saying, like, exactly. I used to stand for 4 days, and I'm like, I want to be like the lead. I want to be like Jonathan Davis.
I smoked meth out of a light bulb one time and sat on a couch for 3 days. Drank like 3 cases of beer and watched Family Guy over and over again. And I was just like, I don't want to be like that ever again.
That's like, yeah, that's just what I imagine that whole show Breaking Bad is about.
Yeah.
Every time I did that. Just like trying to jerk off my dick's the size of a doorbell.
Well, I did. I used to do jokes about doing drugs. And there was one night we used to go to this pretty like, I don't know. The bar was like not a fancy like open mic bar, I guess is the best way I can describe it. It's on a college campus. And I finish and a guy sits next to me while I'm standing outside hitting a bowl. And he keeps saying, you ever smoked out of a light bulb, man? Hey. You ever thought about smoking out of a light? Like, he kept repeating it, and I was just like, I'm okay right now, man. I think he was trying to get me to go do meth with him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Was. I mean, I smoked hash out of a light bulb when I was, like, 14.
Yeah. I've never done a light bulb thing.
Hash head.
I was that big into hash. I used to do hash on a safety pin with the jelly jar over top of it.
Yeah, like, I remember I used to do knife hits.
That too. I've done those.
I've gone to space on a knife hit before off of like just a bunch of keef, man. I have, that was the highest I've ever been, was just, I didn't know that it did that to you. I took a huge fucking knife hit and I was like, well, I was gone for the whole rest of the night.
100% the coolest way to do drugs.
Like when you see people from the military like smoking weed out of a gun, like when they went in Vietnam videos.
That's the best way to do drugs. But yeah,
or like if you can somehow, I mean, I've tried boofing. And maybe they call it something different out there. You know, it's when you put some up your ass.
Oh nope. We don't call that in the middle of the country where that people are a little more not gonna put anything in their ass.
I used to put a bunch of laxatives up my ass so I could throw the shit on people's cars. Go.
Oh fuck, really? Dude!
I used to harass like popular kids at school that way. That when they got like a brand new Honda Civic, I would throw my shit all over it.
Jesus, couldn't you just find shit? Couldn't you just wait?
I was making my own.
He wanted to be his own shit. Okay. God damn.
Yeah,
Brett always talks about how like, oh, I didn't really do drugs when I was in high school. I didn't really even start till I was 18. And then every time he tells you a story from high school, you're like, you should have been doing drugs, dude.
Yeah.
Throwing your shit at stuff is wrong. Okay.
Yeah. My barf too. But
yeah, that's smart, man.
I barfed on tons of stuff. I was yeah, like a real gross like punk though.
Yeah, we would try to do that. We found out that the milk challenge, nobody could pass it. So then we were like, let's go make up a big construction bucket full of vomit and do something with it.
What's the milk challenge?
Try to drink a gallon of milk in 1 hour.
Impossible. Oh, I could do it 100%.
Oh, man, we got to see this.
I love it with
people. I'm a milkhead. I do like 3-4 gallons a day.
Get on Twitter live and let's do the hour countdown.
No, it's like a solitary thing. It's like meditation.
Yeah, like, you gotta do it.
I do it alone.
Yeah, when you can lie about it.
I'm just kidding. I'm lactose intolerant. I'm Jewish. I could never drink milk.
Yeah, I can't either just because it's gross tasting. Though. Yeah,
I'm also an adult, which makes it a little difficult as well.
I'm trying to find boofting online, and it's all like stuff about kayaking. Like, I guess there's kayakers use it too. Use that same word. That is, yeah, man. Just like,
well, so what did you put up your, what did you boofed?
I think I only boofed to boxing because it's like a film. Like you can like dissolve it up there.
I
had a rough, my late teens, early 20s were a rough time.
Yeah. Did you do the Suboxone like where you like, did you quit with Suboxone for a while? Cause that's like a huge thing because you know, the opiate thing is happening here really bad. And there's a lot of people that are straight up just hooked on Suboxone at this point.
No, Suboxone, I tried to do that. Like just like got off the street and tried, but no, I quit cold turkey when I did.
Yeah.
Like the last time I did for good.
I did a detox when I did, like I needed help detoxing, but then once I did that, I've been relatively clean.
Yeah, no, it was like a detox kind of thing.
Did you get pills to get through the detox?
Get hooked to that.
Yeah, everybody does.
They just gave me some shit that lowered my blood pressure and pretty much knocked me out for like 4 days.
Yeah, that's what they did for me. I came in every day and they handed me this little brown envelope of pills. And I would take those throughout the day, but I don't remember any of those days. Like all those days are completely gone. I kind of basically slept through those days or like wasn't conscious. And once I got through that, I was like, I mean, now that I don't feel like shit, I think I can just quit this for forever.
That's
the thing. It's really just like a 6-day process. If you think of it that way, like if you're, I mean, obviously there are people that are going through a lot more shit, but man, if there are a lot of people, if you could get them past the withdrawals, they'd be fine. Just.
Yeah. That's why everyone should just be in jail like once a month for 5 days, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, even if jail, you're not on drugs.
Jails feel like that's their job though.
Yeah. It just keeps you away from it. Keep you away from all your crutches and vices and all that stuff. You have to learn how to you know, accept the moment again.
Like if you've been looking at your phone too much or something, just go to jail.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not letting Brace make any rules after the revolution. He's out.
Jail week sounds like a good idea, though. Yeah, I would get some rest and relaxation. I'd realign my spine on that cold, hard concrete floor.
Yeah, no, jail would be like marginally better under me.
Yeah. Oh, so jail would you'd do like those Icelandic jails where it's like, we'll teach you how to cook while you're in there, too.
And that Hawaiian punch in the drinking fountains.
Not like exactly Icelandic, more like. It's like Siberian, but like, you get some exercise. It'd be like an exercise kind of thing.
It just sounds like it sucks because like I quit using painkillers, but I like use weed all the time now and kratom. And if I had to go somewhere where I couldn't use those two things, that would be horrible for me.
Yeah, but you'd really get to know yourself. Oh my God. Speaking of jail, this Hillary Clinton slave thing.
Oh my God, I did see that. Did you see that, Brent?
I know nothing about it.
Hillary Clinton in her book has a whole passage in there about how they would have people from the prison work at the governor's mansion and how she got to know a few of them. And, you know, they turned out to be pretty decent guys.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, those people don't work for, like, what do you call it, money?
No.
Really?
No, they're...
So I think there was a word for that, which is on the tip of my tongue.
I have to say,
slavery.
That's
it.
I've already seen somebody saying these people didn't care about prison labor until Hillary Clinton did it, and I'm like, no, I've always cared about.
We've prison been obnoxious labor. About prisons for the longest time now.
I'm actually not doing.
So, wait. So actually, I do want to ask your opinion as someone that sounds like well versed in drugs and opiates and those things of those nature. Do you have any sort of idea or take or thoughts on turning around what's happening across the country with all this?
With the opioid crisis?
Yeah.
I got some takes on it. I don't know if they're good ones, but I get some thoughts on it rather, but it's just fucking, it's crazy. It's
what do you think would be beneficial, I guess, the most?
What do you think we should do?
Yeah.
I mean, you're
a big jail guy. We know you're a big jail guy, but does that come packaged up with any sort of other services?
No, you jail the people that make these drugs. You jail people that that profit off of them, rather. For instance, like the people who made OxyContin, even though they knew it was like super addictive and then marketed it.
They had
doctors like incentives for doctors to prescribe it and stuff. I think a huge amount of the culpability just like rests with them.
Yeah, because they were like, what if we could give people heroin in a pill form? And then would they be into that? And then it actually ended up working out.
Yeah, and like, I mean, anybody who's tried that shit knows like, oh, wait, yeah, this fucking rules.
Yes.
Like it turns all your bad thoughts into good thoughts.
Yeah. We all agree to. And we've even had people that commented on posts that said, like, so many drugs are unreliable and oxys are, you know, exactly what you're getting every single time.
Exactly. That was like a huge reason people like did them a lot is because they're both powerful, they were relatively cheap, and you knew what you were getting. But like the thing is, they were just massively, massively, massively overprescribed. There was like incentives for doctors to prescribe them. You know, like the people, like these salesmen would like pharmaceutical salesmen essentially would like court these doctors and get them to prescribe opiates. So I think that every doctor should be under my control, but everybody who's complicit in like basically the selling of dope to the American public at such a huge like industrial scale essentially should be probably jailed and then eventually shot. after they have to like
you're a little tough.
I mean, how the fuck can you rehabilitate someone like that? Like, I get it. Like, you're a dope dealer. Like, you actually have to like risk your ass to sell heroin or something. Like, I get it. Like, you need to survive. Like, shit, you know, things are fucked up. But if you're somebody who's like in like a boardroom and you're like, we gotta get like everybody hooked on heroin, like you should die.
Right.
I mean, you caused all these other people to die.
And I think also like I don't ever really like it's sort of refreshing in a way for me to hear somebody talk about the punishment side, because you and I are like, I think, you know, we'll just take their house away from them, man, and put homeless people in it.
Oh no, you can definitely take their house away from them. Absolutely, that's like you gotta, but you have to make them watch you take their house away from them.
Yeah, I just think that I think that like. It sucks because like my solution is probably even more problematic than yours to a lot of people, because I'm just like, sell OxyContin at the fucking store. Fuck it. You know, like at this.
No, definitely not. Everyone would buy it.
Right. Yes, I agree. I would too. If it was that, but I'm saying like there needs to be, I think just because you'll never get all people off of opiates, maybe get the safest one out there so people that want them can get their hands on it, you know?
Maybe a government provided one once every 3 months.
No, not one every 3 months.
That's not how opiate addiction works. No. I agree with that. Obviously, the legalization aspect of it, I do agree with that, especially as a short-term thing.
Yeah, right. And it's crazy that like that is probably that opinion is not popular. I would say that I talk to people on the left who are like, you're just letting people throw their lives away. And I'm like, I don't think that's the case, man. I was a pretty productive drug addict. I just, once I ran out of places to get it, I became very I became a fucking mess, you know, but I was going to work every day. I was getting up all day. The reason I quit was because getting it is fucking terrible. It's the hardest thing in the world.
That's like, no one like quits when they're like, can get it and have money and all that stuff. People quit because they have to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it feels so good. You're right, too. And if it was in the store, I would go to the store and buy it. There would be no way to stop me from like, oh, I'm having a bad day. I'm going to take an Oxy 80 tonight. Watch fucking rest.
Like, I've been doing sobriety bullshit for like years now. But like, if my corner store started selling like Vicodin, I'd be there like in 10 seconds.
That is difficult. So you do. Yeah,
but here's the thing.
I'm sorry.
Well, let me talk about, actually, I figured out the punishment. You have to keep the people who sell these things in a perpetual state of opiate withdrawal.
That would be fun. So the guys that are like, if you could figure out a way to keep like the CEO of the company that makes OxyContin in perpetual, or like just sentence them, like you've been sentenced to a month of withdrawal.
A month? No, just forever.
Just throw the fucking withdrawal book at them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, fuck, man. Think how many life sentences people get for like the dumbest bullshit. Selling like heroin to everybody and like making money off of it, and legally making money off of it, which is, I think, is the most egregious offense. That's like, yeah, you should be punished to the highest extent.
Well, and the thing is, here in Ohio, at least, and probably in California, I'm sure all across the country, is they're passing laws that are tightening up the restrictions on now prescribing opiates, which I guess maybe is right. But now you've hooked a ton of fucking people and you're cutting the supply way down. So the real reason people are overdosing is fentanyl, and like they're fucking doing like elephant opiates, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fentanyl, I think I've only done it once, but Jesus Christ. And like people, you know, obviously you're like, your OxyContin dealer like dries up. You're probably going to go just get heroin.
Yes, that's what's been. And imagine you're like some fucking square guy that like hurt your back lifting boxes at a warehouse or something, that was just like just a normal person. And now they're like having to go navigate the fucking heroin market because.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, there's like no punishment great enough for the people that caused this.
You'll never see. They will never even be called to testify in front of Congress for what they've done. It's just they're like bulletproof. They're not literally bulletproof, but they are bulletproof in a way.
Hopefully
like they
just, someday we'll find out.
Allegedly.
Untouchable. We'll say untouchable.
But no, you can touch anyone if you want to.
That's true.
Yeah, you put hands on anybody you like. They'll never see you coming.
Forbes, right? Like a couple years ago, Forbes like printed an article like these guys are doing real. This OxyContin family is doing really well, and it was them sitting in a rich person, like the room that you would imagine a rich person would be sitting in, Brett. Like fucking, there's probably a stuffed lion just outside of the frame.
100%.
I mean, like, that's, I think, where my, like, anarchism and communism is like, but Brett and I talk a lot about, like, yeah, we could make people's lives better, but the other good thing about communism or anarchism is taking away from the people that have everything.
Oh,
like,
yes.
That's going to feel fucking great.
Expropriation is going to be the most wonderful feeling in the world.
Yeah, I mean,
take shit like to Upper Deck a really nice toilet,
or let everybody get a crack at that Ferrari.
Yeah exactly. Just like come on a rug.
What do you do with all the luxury shit? Do you think?
I don't know. You piss and shit all over it. I don't know. I'm like a fucking savage. I don't know what to do with myself when I'm around guys' things.
Lots of bodily fluids.
Well, can we just hand out like Ferrari? Because there's going to be Ferraris and all that kind of shit.
Once I mean, I'll use the nice silverware.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of like whoever gets it, they have it now.
I like it. I like it.
Yard sale. We'll have a free day. We just drag all of it onto the lawn and everybody comes and shops.
Speaking of yard sales, I got the police called on me a few days ago for having one.
Oh,
an illegal one?
No, like it's just, I don't know. It's just a yard sale. We're selling some shit in front of my house.
So you're having a yard sale and the cops roll up. What do they say?
They say that someone has called the police because you're doing illegal street vending.
What? So they don't do yard sales in San Francisco? Is that where you're at?
Yeah, they have yard sales all the time here, man.
But you weren't. I think that's somebody's got it out for you there. How can they?
Definitely.
Were you selling like food at all?
I was selling OxyContin.
Oh well, I think come to your next yard sale.
You can't get a permit for that, anyways.
You know, it was like just like books and some records and like I don't know some clothes. So yard sale shit.
Basically not vending anything in a way. It is just you took your old shit and you put it in front of a house and said you can come and buy it for a cheap price.
And the they told us that we could like leave it there and let people take it for free while we went and like, you know, basically dump it on the street. Or rather they implied that. So that's what we ended up doing. Like most of it was just junk anyways. So we took the shit that was like we could sell really and took it inside, just left the rest of the shit on the street.
They're killing the American dream out there.
The entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, you can't even just start a business on your own front porch anymore.
This reminds me of when, like, every once in a while, conservatives will print an article that I 100% agree with where the police come and shut down some little kid's lemonade stand. And I'm like, no. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, that article, I see it like once every 3 months. Yeah. That's like, that. It makes me like, I'm sorry, oh, fuck, I'm libertarian now.
Yeah, I hate the fucking government.
I'm going to get a Reason.com membership.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, excuse me, have you ever heard of Macon McCardle to the officer?
That is fucking crazy. Like, so do you just have a neighbor that hates you? Because you are a punk guy, which can cause issues in neighborhoods.
No. It's actually, I think my girlfriend, they all have it out for. Because she's like really active in the neighborhood and does like a lot of cool shit. But a lot of like... a lot of uncool folks don't like her.
So that makes sense. Square. She turns squares off.
Yeah. Like she goes hard for like our neighborhood and people who just move here, like rich, like kind of homeowners really don't like that shit.
Yeah. Are you you're in San Francisco. Is it, what was that?
No, go ahead.
Are you in Frisco as they call it? So I hear like, we haven't had anybody on from there, but all we hear about is rich people taking poor people's houses. Yeah. Is it terrible out there? Like, because we're in the middle of watching it kind of happen. It's starting to happen here. And it just happens right under your nose, you know?
Dude, it's the most insane shit ever.
I've never lived anywhere else. I was going to say, how long have you lived there? That's your hometown. That's your stomping grounds.
Yeah. I lived in the North Bay for a little bit, like on the other side of the Golden Gate Bridge. But almost my entire life I've lived here. And I was born here and shit. It is fucking nuts. It's like every cool, like imagine, think of every cool thing that you like and imagine that someone just like, it's like reverse expropriation.
Yeah, they like, take every place that you go, like live music.
Yeah,
they're like not any. That's not going to be there anymore.
It's too loud, too loud. Yeah. We have a gastropub going in here.
No, it's like beyond gastropub, man. It's like five competing mini golf places with like you know it's like $50 to play mini golf inside.
Whoa,
nothing's worth $50. There's no mini golf worth $50.
Well, here's the thing. It's like I realize their whole scam is they just like let you do like. Cool shit like mini golf or like ping pong, but they charge you $50 because you can drink beer in there.
Yeah, they do that a lot here too with like video arcades where it's like the games are free, but the drinks are like $12.
Yeah.
The newest place in town that sent me over the edge is one called Drunch. And I just want, I want to just smash all the windows.
What is it?
Just
is it drunk brunch?
Yeah.
There is a place.
It's like, it's, I think it's even
a god awful name for a fucking place.
I know. I don't even think it's sit down. It looks like it's like a fast cash. Like you're just picking up brunch to go, maybe with like a mimosa in a plastic cup.
Maybe you just like get you a bunch of shots.
The place that wrecked me, like this is such a big city thing. What I'm probably about to find out, this comes from San Francisco. It's either that, because every time I see it, I'm like, this fucking New York ass shit showing up in my neighborhood. A place called Hydrate Me, where you can go get IVs.
No, we don't even have that.
It's at a strip mall, and you can go get fucking IVs for like different things. They'll be like, oh, are you feeling hungover? We have an IV for that. Are you like hungry? We can give you an IV for that. And like, I saw that and I was like, that is such big city shit. Like that, I don't know where that would, who would ever fucking use that.
I think that's like a Florida thing. Like that's like some shit you do in like Miami or Orlando.
Yeah.
Like a beachside drunk, like hungover person.
It's good if you, I mean, maybe if you didn't have to drink water anymore, you could just drink pop and then you could get IVs at the same time. Mix it.
People who don't drink water deserve to die. That's your body telling you that you don't want to live anymore.
That's true. I spent many years not drinking water. Like I basically subsisted on Mountain Dew, and those were the best years of my life. I mean, when I felt the best, you know, but that was also, you know, my early 20s. Like everybody in Ohio seems to like really go through a Mountain Dew phase or is still currently in one.
But, I mean, that's where the mountain that Mountain Dew is named after is. That's where Mountain Dew is in Ohio.
No, we're where the Hidden Valley is for the ranch. That's where we are.
Oh.
There's also a place in town called Bear Burger, and it's a burger place, and you can't get out of there for less than $50. And that, I looked it up. Fuck, came from New York, man. It's like,
there's a $20 cup of coffee in San Francisco.
Holy moly.
It's not a joke. My boy drank it once.
Good? Is it good? Is it that coffee that they filter through some bug's asshole?
Yeah. It's like some fucking horrible creature ate some like other creature's shit. And then they shit that out. And then you fucking pay someone who makes like $8 an hour to drink it.
Ugh. Jesus.
Yeah, I heard of someone in LA doing shots of colloidal silver for like $60 a pop.
There used to be like remember those air bars or whatever?
Yeah, oxygen.
You guys ever do that? I was a little young for that.
Just did it recently at the Electric Canna Carnival in Detroit, Michigan. Brian's wife did it.
We went to a weed carnival. Uh-huh. And all of the weed vendors were giving free dabs and free oxygen.
Why? Not all of them. Most one of them.
A lot of. No, there was three of them doing oxygen. Oh, really?
There was a few doing oxygen.
Yeah. A lot of, and it was different flavors of oxygen, which.
That's the original doing oxy.
That's. I heard it was Woody Harrelson that put the money into the first oxygen bar.
I think I heard that as well.
I've never done it. I don't think we have to look that one up. We know it's real.
It's been independently verified by two people.
That's cross-referenced. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like fucking Wikipedia, or it's more like an academic journal.
No, I dreamed about it when I was a kid, going to the mall. They had a temporary stand there and I just wished I could do it. And my parents told me it was stupid as hell.
It is.
Is there like an age limit for, do you have to be a certain like age to do oxygen?
No, everybody can do oxygens, I think.
I've heard it gets too high in a way, like people don't get that real pure oxygen moment and it gives you a little dizzy buzz if you do enough of it, you know?
If you go
It's like vegan whippets.
Yes. I can't believe it was flavored. Like, I guess it's better that it's flavored than like smells like somebody's breath or something like that.
Yeah, if it was just someone breathing into a bottle and they just pump that into your nose.
We've talked a lot about piss, puke, and shit, but the most vile thing that's come up is breathing someone else's breath to me.
It's just a huge gulp.
Let me breathe in that breath. Oh man, even if it smells good, it's a bad experience.
Yeah, it's still gonna be humid.
No one's breath smells like good.
No. Even if they chew gum, they're like, my breath smells good. And it's like, no, it smells acceptable.
Yeah,
it's not bothering anybody.
Like it's like breath smell, but you get like some spearmint in there.
Yeah. That comes out of the like recesses of your disgusting inside of your body, which is the worst place in the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's filled with just like guts.
Yeah, it's gross. I hate the inside of my skin more than anything. Like anything that's inside of that, I hate my skin pretty much, but anything that's inside of that, I don't want to know about it at all.
Oh my fuck God. Disgusting.
Yeah. My like, black lungs, my disgusting fucking lungs from smoking forever.
I know, me too. God, if I ever have to give a transplant or something, I'm just not going to do it. Yeah. Fuck it. I don't ever want to see me.
I used to want to get my lungs x-rayed when I smoked to see how close I was, to see if I should quit or if I still had some time to keep going. I think that would be a good service.
I've been thinking about quit. I got to quit.
You know, it's harder than quitting opiates, but once you've been quit for like 6 months, it stays easy. It gets a little bit easier. I just recently smoked my first cigarette in like 10 years. I used to smoke 2 to 3 packs a day when I was working as a cable guy because I was in a fucking van all day.
Yeah.
And, I quit. And then when we went to Chicago in February, I smoked one cigarette and it knocked me out for 2 hours. It made me completely ill. And I was like, I don't know how I did these.
I'm just afraid I would get all stopped up.
Yeah, that. I mean, I'll tell you what'll happen. You're going to get fat. Like, that's what quitting smoking did to me. I was like 115 pounds until like 10 years ago, and now I'm 220. And I'm like having to lose weight because I just started eating.
Well, I'm just going to replace it with like just going to one of those IV bars and just doing an anti-hunger IV.
Good idea. I'll take care of it. Look at his split.
Or I'll just start smoking meth.
Yeah. Get hypnotized, man.
Holy shit. Go try the
hypnotism.
You don't know a buddy. Let me tell you, you don't know the first thing about hypnotism. You got, my God.
You've been hypnotized before?
I've never been. I don't know. All right. This is how good of hypnosis it was. I don't know if I've been hypnotized or not.
What do you mean?
I do know.
You attempted it?
But my girlfriend Jen and I went and saw a mentalist when we were in New York a couple weeks ago.
Sounds exotic.
It's a long story. I'm not going to tell the whole thing because I'm sworn to secrecy, but he guessed both her PIN number, her ATM PIN number, and my name just from looking into her eyes and talking to her.
No, I don't fuck
with that kind of stuff.
Oh man, that's like dark science.
I'm telling you, man, this was the dark hand path, the left hand path. I mean,
yeah, I'm not comfortable with that situation at all.
You got to get him on our side. You got to get him on the left. We need a fucking this mentalist.
Exactly.
The
we
left.
Need that kind of sorcery to be used for good. We need to lock that contract down.
Yeah, I mean, we just have like shitty like witches, I think. And warlocks.
I'm glad though that actually that area is being taken care of as well. I didn't realize we were really lacking in the bindings and spells and shit, but now I feel like it's well taken care of, so we're on lock for that.
Well, I want to take a firmly contrarian stance here and say that I'm anti-magic in all its forms.
What about like close-up sleight of hand magic?
It's witchcraft.
I like to think that there's Satan and demons out there, but other than that, like I'm pretty like I like warlocks and Satan. I like the dark arts. That's just who I am. I'm a heavy metal guy. You know, you are a punk guy. I'm a heavy metal guy, and heavy metal guys like the dark arts.
Punks are like Christ-like. Heavy metal guys are satanic.
Yes, we are the yin and yang of rock music in a way. I don't think Christ-like necessarily, but like Brett, when he was growing up, listened to a lot of punk that was about like not doing drugs and shit like that. And I was listening to a lot of metal that was like do drugs and worship Satan.
I'm a firm centrist. where I listen to a lot of both.
Yeah.
But so, I don't listen to anything new. Like metal, with metal's concerned, I can't, it doesn't hold my interest past like 84.
Ooh, man, you missed Korn and Limp Bizkit and stuff like that.
I didn't miss them. I was there.
I was at every one of those fucking shows, man.
I was conceived at Woodstock 98.
Oh, no, it's 99, and I was there, okay?
Now, were you actually?
I was at Woodstock 99, yeah. I went to one of the scariest places I've ever been. This is not the desert fighting ISIS, but have you, you've watched the video with Limp Bizkit where they sing break stuff and they're surfing. I was like near the front of that mosh pit, and I think it's the scariest place I've ever been, because it was like when you're in a mosh pit, you can always see the end of it, but I couldn't see the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, God, Christ. Yeah,
and it was violent as shit. I mean, you know, the limp, those crowds were fucking violent. I got beat up at like three or four. I got beat up at a few concerts at metal shows. I know that happens at punk shows too, but like I go to more punk stuff now, and I always feel like the toughest guy in the room.
Yeah, yeah. Punk is like pretty fairly easy going. Like the 90s, I think it got a little weird.
One of the first shows I ever went to was MXPX and Homegrown, and
I think they were Christian.
Yeah, they were on the line, and I got hit in the face with somebody's cast.
Yeah, the first concert I ever went to was Ozzfest, actually.
Oh shit! Which one?
I don't fucking know. Who was Ozzy played?
Yeah. Who else? Name one other band that's not Black Sabbath.
The only one I can remember was Hatebreed.
Hey, bro.
Oh, yeah, God, I love those guys.
I went to Ozzfest 97, 98, and 99.
It might have been one of those. I was, like, pretty young.
Yeah, my wife's actually one of her favorite concerts ever was the Ozzfest where Limp Bizkit came out of the toilet.
That sounds so tight.
I know. They just had a big fucking toilet on stage and they walked out. I'm like, that is I know that they deserve a lot of grief, but they did do the thing where they walked out of the toilet.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, it was like those bands were like kind of trying to be like, because there was like a heavy South Park crossover there.
Yeah. Well, Korn, yeah, like bands like Korn and Limp Bizkit, they did funny songs. They didn't just like stay out. And like the metal before that, they like Iron Maiden didn't do funny songs.
I would argue that Iron Maiden's kind of funny.
Well, okay. Iron Maiden did funny songs, but they're not trying to be.
Yeah. Funny. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, Iron Maiden's hilarious, man.
It was funny, actually. Speaking of Satan, like you were earlier, when I was in Syria, because obviously ISIS and a lot of sort of Salafist terrorists yell like Allahu Akbar when they're shooting at you. So a lot of the guys I was with were just like these Kurdish guys would just yell like Allahu Satan or Satan Akbar, Satan Akbar.
You should have told them it's Satan hail overall. Satan.
Yeah,
you're supposed to say hail Satan, man. That's the whole thing. That scares people still. There are people that hail Satan still scares. Like, dog, don't do that, man. Stay out of that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lil Uzi Vert just got in trouble for it.
Actually, say his name, Lil Uzi Vert.
Okay,
Lucifer.
Sorry.
Seriously, he named himself because he's he's fucking into.
He's a Luciferian.
Who the fuck is that?
He's a rapper. He's like a young rapper dude that just liked Marilyn Manson growing up. And
that's tight.
All my fans are dead. Push me to the edge. Yeah, his shit is crazy. It's pretty extreme. Like he's talking about all of his friends are dead. And that he's so high on drugs that he's about to break through the limit. And it just, kids are going fucking nuts to it. Like all across the country, teens are jumping off of rooftops for Lil Lucifer.
My real thing is like, when you listen to that newer rap that I was really turned off to for a lot of years, now that you listen to it, you're like, this is punk. This is as close as it gets. Like, they're fucking saying things that piss everybody off. But, so
you're not a rap fan, Brace.
You guys are breaking up.
Oh, shoot. All right. Well, I guess we can end it, though.
Wait, no, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay.
I can hear you now.
Are you a big hip hop fan?
I'm a total hip hop head. Love all the greats.
Who's your guys? Or gals, too?
Eminem.
Really? Well, you are kind of a troop in a way. So
that's true. That. Yeah. He has the most fighting spirit in his songs.
D four.
12. That's D12.
I only like the core part of it. No, I'm not a big rap guy.
Just like Bizarre and yeah.
No, I'm not a big rap guy. I guess okay. You could say
what's that?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, what about like E-40? He's from out in there.
E-40's cool.
Mac Dre or anything like that?
When I was younger, like Thizz was going on or like the hyphen.
I always put my Thizz face on.
I was extremely into the hyphen, but everyone was. It was more than music.
It was a movement.
Yeah, really, it really was called the hyphen movement.
Yeah. Yeah,
I loved
that movie.
We were trying to do it out here too. We saw just watch on MTV.
Ghost riding the whip, man. That was
a stunted sideshows. Crumpin', man.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah, there's still a lot of that shit in Oakland.
Oh, I believe it. There's still some old guys.
Scraper bikes.
There's still old guys still doing it. Like, it used to be better.
I know a guy. Mac Dre robbed the guy. I know.
That's
some notoriety.
I would love
that. And then he ran into Mac Dre because I guess Mac Dre is in like Sacramento around there. He ran into Mac Dre at a party, like this is before he like was famous, and was like, "Hey, you robbed me." And he was just like, "I don't know what you're talking about." I was like, "You weren't wearing a mask or anything." It was like, "It was you. You robbed me like 2 weeks ago."
It was you, the famous Mac Dre.
No, I guess I'm more of a rock head.
Hey, I'm with rock you, man. Guy. I love rock too. Right now, I'm a country music head, so I don't know. So, there's no way you like country music, right?
No. I'm a different kind of racist.
So what got like? So I guess what was your first?
No, like, I like
first taste
like
of music.
Country, or, I like some country.
What about bands? So I guess what about first inspirational bands? Like what got you into punk rock? Like what's really grabbed you and made it? You knew it was like, for your life.
The first shit I got into was like fucking the same shit, like Sex Pistols and Ramones and shit. But
the old classics.
Yeah, but then I got like into hardcore punk. Nine Shocks Terror from Ohio.
Yeah,
I got really into that when I was younger. Great.
We don't know any Ohio stuff because we were just into ICP when we were growing up.
I've been out there a bunch, I've been out there a few times rather for shows.
Oh, the next time you get out
to Cleveland.
Oh, we just got back. We just did a show in Cleveland 2 days ago.
Where at?
Mahal's. It's like a bowling alley.
That's tight. I've always been to that place. Now that's class.
Don't know it.
What? That's a place I've never heard of. Because there's only a couple places I know in Cleveland. One is like the Grog Shop. And the other Peachlin Ballroom.
Yeah, I've been to the Grog Shop.
Yeah, that place is fucking nice. That
place is cool. Well, Cleveland punk's always been like, I don't know. This was like 6 years ago.
I know. I'm just
or more.
But Cleveland punk is the Dead Boys is from there, right?
Dead Boys. I got a Cleveland tattoo. Perubu. I got a Perubu tattoo.
Oh, love them. I'm a huge fan of them.
Cleveland like hardcore has always been like real notorious for like, you know, they would do this shit. There was this famous story about like these guys barred the doors from the outside and then just started setting off like fireworks and lighting fires inside.
And that's at like one point, there was another show.
Another show, they barred the doors from the outside and this guy, Tony Erba, starts throwing gasoline. It turned out it was just water with a little gasoline in it. So it smelled real heavy. He starts throwing gasoline all over everyone, starts lighting matches, just throwing them off people.
That's wild. That's pushing the edge.
Cleveland fucking rules. That's like a G.G. Allen shit.
It's way crazier than that. G.G. Allen's just like shit.
I know. Yeah, that's like crazy to me, though. That the shit freaks me out a little bit.
That's exhilarating. That would be exhilarating.
Freaks me out. I was really into Gigi when I was like 13, too. Like, I was like, this is like, wow, I finally found someone who understands me. My dick is also like the size of like several eyelashes put together.
He was so not shy about it, though. He did not care.
I know. And he got like, he got his, you know, like he was married and stuff.
Jeez. It's that's what his name stood for. Jeez, Alan.
But yeah, then I was like, I was in a few punk bands for a while. And then I wasn't.
It's, and now are you going to, are you going to try to do more? You're going to do punk again?
Well, like, it's not something punk you get up. Is doing a reunion for like, it's a benefit for our dead friend's mom. But
so you are going to do a show soon.
I am going to do one show. Yeah.
Say when on the show. So if somebody hears like
sometime in July,
look out for this, you motherfuckers.
We were called War Crime.
Yeah. I've heard of it. I have seen those pictures from people saying you're in the CIA. I have. It's like,
that's so tight that they did that.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures. They said you did right wing punk. Yes. At the time.
Absurd, but I mean, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know that I mean, like, even if it was like that, have you heard of that Monster Magnet? The band he was in before Monster Magnet, where they like wore like helmets and fatigues and sang about how war was good.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people do shit like that all the time. I just don't think like the people who thought I was in the CIA, cause I was in a punk band when I was a teenager, really get how punk works.
Yeah. You just say whatever. I mean, punk is not, I mean, especially if you're not doing like political stuff. And even if you are, it's just saying a bunch of shit, man. That's what's good things. About it. Yeah.
Yeah, like I wasn't crass, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't listen to any of the political stuff, but the stuff that I do listen to, I mean, it really is just dudes or women saying a bunch of stuff that's supposed to make you feel bad.
I mean, like in like the Dicks, you know the Dicks?
No, I don't.
Yeah, we like played them a couple weeks back.
Yeah, like they're Sorry, like guys. They're fucking great, but like they're dumb as hell. And they were political, you know, but like all their lyrics, like I'm going to suck your toes.
I always think that way about like Jay Retard. It's like, you know, you don't want to, I try not to use the word retard very much, but that guy was a fucking genius. Yeah. He was a fucking genius. That guy.
That was his name. He was a little bit of a dick, but yeah, he was that fucking Blood Vision's great record.
Best. If you're pissed, listen to Blood Vision, and it's not going to make you less pissed, but it'll match your mood.
Fucking killer. You know, it's fucked up. So there's like my buddies or these guys I know. I don't really say they're my great buddies, but they slashed slashed his tires the night he killed himself, or the night he died, rather.
Who, Heath Ledger's?
No, Jay Retard's.
Oh, you cut out. I'm sorry, man. That sucks. Yeah. I discovered him and then I watched a documentary that somebody made about him. And I think Blood Visions. And I even think, the album after that are like that guy could have been fucking huge. Like he was just writing pop songs, you know?
Yeah. He kept like all his cash in a fucking, in a closet.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
That's what I would do, too. That's what I'm going to do someday.
Yeah, when I have enough cash to keep outside of my wallet.
Me, same here. That is true.
I got food stamps today, though.
Yeah. Well, that's going to get you food.
Hell yeah, I'm going to live high off the hog.
It's fucking Jake Gyllenhaal, you owe Brace. A ton of fuck. Just give the guy some money, man.
Here's what I'm going to say. If they actually start like putting that movie in production, I will go to any links. And you can read between whatever lines here. I'm going to go to any links to make sure. Not only does it not happen, but Jake Gyllenhaal has to wear a diaper. Like, he doesn't have, he didn't wear anything, but I want, like, I want him to wear a diaper for like a year. I'm gonna make him.
I want you to get money out of it. So
I'm not gonna get. Well, I can't. I can't, because that would be so fucking. That would like be like implicit. Like,
endorsement. Jesus, you're exactly right. You're fucking exactly right. I'm with you, man. Damn. That is true. You can't get money out of it. So, yeah, I would want it to not happen, too. Although I would run around and brag about it all the time.
What I have to – well, I think, like, I got, like, real freaked out when I first heard the news. So I was like, oh, shit, people are going to think, like, that I had something to do with this. But I don't think anyone really does. Sorry, go ahead.
It was worded in a way – the article was worded in a way that said that, like, it's not based on you necessarily. It's based on the article in Rolling Stone that was written about you. So it seemed like they were looking – I mean, even when I first read that, I was like, they ain't giving him shit for this.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's other dudes in the article, that's for sure. But, like, for certainly none of those guys are going to be down either.
No.
Like, especially not the Italians they interviewed. Those guys are fucking nuts. Like,
that's okay. You reported
way more principled than ground.
Yeah. More principled.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, hey, we like to work with the comrades. I get them to got the ghoul.
It was like that when they were in training. They were just like every night. We just made them cook. Like, you're supposed to take every, like, everyone's supposed to switch turns cooking every day. But in their case, like, once all the Italians arrived at once, we just made them cook every meal. And they'd be like crowded around this pot, like trying to make whatever like version of pasta they could, like yelling at each other in Italian.
Oh, a little make of the gravy. How to get a little of the gravy on there like a mud I used to make.
Exactly. Exactly like that.
All right, Brace.
It was also.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I was going to say thank you for doing the show, but because we got to wrap up.
My pleasure.
But thank you for coming on. And Brett,
I wanted to know, do you have a song that we can close out with and a reason why you chose it?
Pink Reason, Borrowed Time.
Nice.
Because it is my favorite song to come out of Ohio in the past 25 years.
See, and people say nothing good comes out of Ohio, but this show comes out of Ohio and Pink Reason, Borrowed Time comes out of Ohio.
Look at that. Also, racism was invented in Ohio.
It's pretty big here. Way too big here.
It's in style. Stormfront is one of the guys that runs it, is located down the street from us.
Really?
Yeah, like he's in an office. Some office building rents to him. Sometimes you drive by and there'll be, like, I remember recently there was a guy standing out in front of a bank that said, "A Nazi bank's here." So, like, people try to do something about it, but it's like, damn, man, I would not know what to do about, but he's here. He's definitely fucking here.
Jesus Christ. His address is out there, though?
Oh, yeah.
It was actually registered. The Stormfront P.O. box was to his father's business, and then when his father's business started getting all this heat, it disappeared. It changed, and I don't know if anybody knows where it's at now. That's the scoop I know.
Find out.
He has it sent to his house. He's like, hey, send that racist stuff. If you got any racism, please mail it to my father's business.
Yeah, like, you think of any slurs that you don't want to use online, but you're cool with writing, just send it to my dad.
Yeah.
He'll take care of it.
It's going to be fine. Dad's business will survive, okay?
The people's library will continue.
Yeah.
All right. That's always proved my saying. All racists love their dads.
They do. They really do.
They're really into it.
Man, that is crazy. Neither one of us love our dads, and neither one of us are racist.
That's true. Wow. I hate my dad.
There you go.
So thank you for helping out with this show, Brace. You did all the heavy lifting, and you were hilarious. We're glad to have you on and hope to have you back again at some point. For those of you that enjoy what you just heard, if this you're just here for the Piss Pig Grandma talk, all that yuck mouth. You can find more Street Fight Radio by subscribing on iTunes or Stitcher, Google Play, any of those podcasting resources. Look for us. We're right there. Hit subscribe. 3 times a week, you'll get our show. Brian and I
giving you more of this and more discussion about the shape of the earth and zombies, unzombies, cryptids, not zombies. We don't do zombies. Not yet. No. Maybe we'll have zombies.
I mean, if zombies start to happen, we'll obviously be
We'll cover zombies in a funny way. thank you for tuning in. Thank you for support. We'll be back later with Street Fight. Peace. We're living on fire.